Thanks for joining the 10 Minute Leader Podcast. Our hope is that by the end of these 10 minutes, you have a better understanding of how to be an influential leader that others want to follow. My name is Joseph Petrosini. I'm joined here with John and Misty Schluchter, and we are super excited to dive in because we've spent the last 2 months going through a study done by the Gallup organization where they interviewed over 10,000 people asking them, hey, what are things that you want to follow in leaders? And this week we have a big one because it was the most common answer, and that is hope. They want to follow people. They want to follow leaders that feel like gives them hope. And so this is so crucial because what is hope and how do we generate it? How do we create it as leaders? And so we're going to dive in with that today. So John and Misty, what are the things that great leaders do to make you feel like the future is better than the present and that you have the power to make it so?
For me, I mean, this is obviously like about vision, like casting vision. Which is such an important thing that we do as leaders, but it's also a really hard thing to do. But really, vision is just all about like what does a preferred future look like for us as a team, for us as a family, for us as a Tea Life group, for us as an organization. Like, what does a preferred future look like so that we can look towards something, you know, positive and hopeful in the future? And so, like, as groups, we need, you know, vision and where are we going together. But I think also as individuals, we all need somebody who can speak into us and say, like, I see this in you. Like, I see potential in you, or I see that, you know, you could be this. You know, you hear stories of like kids in grade school that like have a really hard life and they're kind of, you know, misbehaving or whatever, but then a teacher or something sees something in them and it kind of changes the trajectory of their life. And I think, like, for me, that's hope, and that's what we get the opportunity to do as leaders. One of my favorite scenes from any show or movie is from Friday Night Lights, where it's a show about football. It's a great show. The football team is just kind of, you know, struggling. They're kind of not coming together. And the coach walks into the locker room and just writes the word state on the whiteboard and walks out. And just that belief that, or just that knowledge that like someone believed they could do something together, something great together, it kind of catalyzed them into changing the trajectory of their season and their team. So like for me, that's what we get to do as leaders, is provide hope, vision, a dream, a preferred future that then we can go after, or people can go after.
Yeah.
I don't think people want to feel stuck, you know, like I think people don't want to feel like they're stuck in life, just going through the motions. And so knowing that you're going somewhere.
Yeah.
Is inspiring.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think so many leaders oftentimes think, oh, I got to get people moving. I got to get people going towards like the goal or objective we have. And they try to use fear, guilt, or shame to motivate people. Mm-hmm. But when we find that faith, hope, and love, like when we generate hope and like, hey, this is possible, right? What you thought was impossible is actually possible. And with you, we can get there. Man, if that doesn't fire you up, I don't know what will, right? Like, okay, I can be a part of something bigger and greater than myself. That's so, so cool. I think many people listening, when you hear the word hope, you might be like, oh, it's just kind of like a soft word or whatever. Well, hope doesn't really do anything. Like, it's just a lovey word. But I think hope is so powerful when you differentiate it from blind optimism, right? How would you guys describe the difference between hope and blind optimism? Because there can be a fine line between the two.
Yeah, I mean, I think hope and blind optimism can look the same. Mm-hmm. I think the difference is that hope meets people where they are. It takes into account where they're in life, what they struggle with, what they're up against, where they want to go, and blind optimism doesn't. It ignores reality. It ignores the person. So I think hope's relational. Yeah. Blind optimism is not.
Yeah, I think people have really good BS filters, and they can. I mean, we see it with politicians all the time that make huge promises, and we're like, okay.
Yeah.
But I think true hope that inspires and catalyzes people to move towards something is something that people, they can see the path forward. That, like, we can get there. Like Misty said, it's kind of grounded in reality. It's not just a, you know, blind optimism.
I know life is hard for you. I know you're facing this, but we can still get there.
Yeah.
So I think if people can see that, not only like, oh, cool, there's the vision of the preferred future, but like, I can see us getting there. I can see a path to get there versus like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, I think that maybe is one difference between hope and blind optimism.
I've learned that about myself. Like, man, I know I'm someone who enjoys and has the ability to kind of bring life and bring energy to the room. But if I do that through just like, oh, that's great, you're going to do great, like I actually lose respect and influence with people. Rather, when I can honor and respect, like, hey, I know what you're in it right now is hard. I'm not discrediting that at all. But it doesn't mean that tomorrow has to be the same. How do you guys think that leaders maintain hope themselves when facing these super honest and real, like, hard situations that they are in, right? Like, not discrediting the reality of where they're at. How do leaders themselves maintain this hope? Because if you don't believe in it, why would anyone follow you believing it?
Yeah, I mean, this is, for people who don't know Christ, like, this is a lot harder. Because for me, like, one of the greatest things about being a follower of Christ is knowing that no matter what, it's going to be okay. And no matter what, like, God's working all things together for the good of those who love him. So, like, better is possible, right? Better is ahead. Better, the best is yet to come. But that's the hope that we have in Christ. And so I think as leaders in the church, just as Christ-following leaders, like, that's ultimately where our hope comes from. That, you know, that Jesus is one, that, you know, no matter what happens, it's going to be okay, and it's going to get better.
Mm. You know, when we cast vision and give people hope, it's important that we communicate preferred outcomes, because that's inspirational. Like, if we do this, then this could happen. And that inspires people to get there. But sometimes those outcomes are like, they may not happen. They're conditional. They're conditional on all things working as they should, all people pulling their weight. And so if those outcomes don't happen, our hope can fall apart if our hope is in the outcome.
Amen. That's
so
good.
So, yeah, like, is your hope in something that may or may not happen, or is your hope in something that is unconditional and solid and stable? So
that's so good, man. Something I've learned recently is that I want my hope to be in not only in who God is and what I want his will to be done in my life, but man, do I get inspired and motivated by who I'm becoming and who God has created me to be, rather than what I do and the performance of what I can do. And I think there's something really real to that, that you can use not only for yourself, but as you inspire others. Like, hey, if we're doing something big and our vision is scary and audacious, we're gonna fail along the way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if we don't, then that's probably not a vision I want to go towards. I want the vision to scare me a little bit. Yeah. And so the hope is not in the performance, but rather who God is like making us and how we're becoming more of Christ along the way. So that's really good, Missy. I like that.
Yeah. Like, our hope is in what God can do as we're faithful and following him.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's so good. Within this topic, what are some super practical next steps that listeners can implement or apply?
I think as T-Life group leaders, you know, we have these indicators of a healthy and transformational T-Life group that we try to send out often. I mean, that's hope. That's a preferred future. That's a target. Like, hey, we want to go here together as a group. How can we get here? What can we do to become more of a, you know, a smaller community that looks like this? You know, with our teams and our workplaces, like, how can we communicate that just that vision of a preferred future, or speak into individuals and just say, like, hey, I see this in you. I know you're struggling, but man, I see so much potential in you. So I just think there's so much opportunity, and I think we can't do this enough. There's there's no too much when it comes to, I think, communicating hope and vision to people. So,
yeah, John, I love that. I think there's something really powerful to casting a really big vision that others want to be a part of, right? Whether you're maybe you're a small group leader for high school or middle school students, and saying, hey, what you do today can change your entire school. Mm-hmm. Even after you graduate, or you graduate to high school or college, like, your school can look different. Or your small group, like, hey, our community can look different because of what we do today. Those things inevitably are super long-term visions and goals. We should be casting those as leaders, because, like, that's something that we all want to be a part of, something bigger than ourselves. But naturally, how we are wired as humans, we also need, like, the little short-term victories, right?
Yeah.
So we have these huge, audacious visions. How can we bullet it down to, like, can we get a win in the first 60 days? right? Like that moves us towards that big, crazy vision. And so as leaders, I think we can feel that like, hey, here's what we're trying to do. Here's our vision, our mission. Here's our first step. Like this is our first target. Can we hit this? And when people get that first little win, they get addicted, right? Like, oh, well, this is possible. This isn't just like a blind, optimistic, crazy, you know, head in the clouds type vision. This is real and we can do it. So there's something super powerful to that. Facebook found this when they wanted like a million users on their platform, right? But where they found that people started using Facebook more when they became friends with at least 7 people. So they said, hey, you can't unlock any of the other features until you invite 7 friends. And when they did that, they're like, oh, this is cool. Like I have friends on here, right? And so they recognized that was like the first win was get 7 friends on the platform. And so I think we can use that same model with us. Like, hey, if you're trying to inspire students to revolutionize their school, how can you help them realize, hey, you can impact 1 kid's life, right? So there's something super cool to that as we talk about hope and future. And so we hope that within these 10 minutes, you guys just take a nugget back to you in wherever ministry or area of life that you lead, both in relevant and in your personal life or at work, because we believe that you guys truly can change the future. Because of the leaders that you guys are, you give us hope, you give our community hope, and inevitably you give the world more hope. So we're so grateful for who you guys are. Thank you guys.